Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's the Mitchin Podcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Mitchin. My name is Andrew Levins, and every week I host this food podcast with my good friend and head chef of Acme, Mitch Orr.
Have I been upgraded to good friend, have I?
you'll be great friend within a month. Just friends. Today we have a very important guest, someone that's been on the Mitchin many times. I was being sincere. We can turn it into a joke if you like. We can do the jokey route. Last week we made fun of him and we thought it was only fair to get him back. You've eaten his food at Lotus, at Ms. G's, at El Loco, at Mr. Wong. Maybe you own his book, Mr. Hong. And maybe you've seen him on TV, on Shelfie, or on more recently, A Chef's Line. The Chef's Line.
The Chef's Line, yeah.
Thanks, bro. You're here branding. Mate. SBS have paid us to get hung on.
We had to pay SBS.
Yeah, probably.
Welcome back to the Mitchin, our good pal, Dan Hong.
Thanks.
So, Hongy, today on the show, we're going to be talking about The Chef's Line and about your kind of foray in television and, you know, what it's like being, you know, someone that works full-time at a restaurant and also trying to squeeze in TV appearances and that kind of thing. I thought we should also talk about the top 50 best restaurants, which was announced last Wednesday. I was at the after party and I have some funny drunken chef tales as well. And then I thought it would be fun to talk about like fitness and like the idea of, but like from our point of view, like the idea of trying to stay fit in the kitchen while running a kitchen, and because
yeah, for sure,
yeah. I mean, I know it's cool. Something that me and Hongi have both tried to address recently. You know, Mitch,
I'd do things as well, but yeah,
I know, yeah, I know.
Do you?
We can talk about it.
Do you lift, bro?
I'm not out there getting those gains, but.
But first, let's talk about The Chef's Line, which is the brand new show. It's a week and a half in on its first of hopefully many seasons. It's on SBS right now. Dan Hong is one of the hosts alongside Melissa Leong, Maeve... What's her name?
Maeve O'Mara.
You should know it better than that. And final host name is...
The Black Olive, mate. It's the OG Indigenous chef, Mark Olive.
You guys have a really great back and forth together, the two of you.
Yeah, well, he's sort of like, you know, he's just the real affectionate one. He's sort of got, he's the real emotional one that can really connect with the home cooks.
Mm-hmm. Are you the hard ass?
I'm not the hard ass. I'm just sort of, you know, I'm the one that has
the
to go,
serious
well,
one.
Are you sure? Are you happy with that? Or, you know, should that taste like that? You know what I mean? Like...
Every week, a bunch of home cooks go up against a restaurant. Each week is sorted into a different cuisine. Last week was Vietnamese. This week is African. And so we had a Vietnamese restaurant from Melbourne called...
Dandelion.
Yeah. Go up against the home chefs last week. And this week we have Africola. Including Duncan Velgamot, who was he's been
well
many times.
Well done.
He's been on the show enough Nailed times. It. I'm sure I still fucked it up.
Velgamot
from Adelaide. Look, we reviewed the first two episodes last week when we had Mike Egan on.
Yeah, and then I didn't watch anymore. Happened last week,
bro? I'm hooked.
Yeah, no,
I made fun of it last week. It's actually really.
I said to Dan at Monday Hong Dinners that I got sucked in. But I just, like, didn't have time to watch
it. Well, I mean, the beauty of the show is that it's not too long. It's like 24 yeah. minutes an yeah. episode, so
and
like
you can it skip really the ads on like iView on whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So yes. it really can just know. You know it just keeps demand. You interested, and yeah. you know, it's not too long, and you know it.
There's
it,
no
it,
soft, there's no drama.
There's no sort of like you know MKR like
you know.
It's great. There's no bullshit crying yeah. and like people yeah. being rude to each other and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. What, I think it's really you know I struggle to care about reality television for the most part. Like I've certainly dipped my toe in the water over the course of my life.
Yeah, I don't care about it, but I think because you know people, like if I didn't know Hongi, like it probably wouldn't be as entertaining to me. But because I know Dan, it's extremely entertaining.
Yeah, but I'm very used to seeing people that I know in productions where I'm like, oh no, they're being forced to do this kind of thing. Yeah. And it's the I think the show on
oh, its yeah, own, I was on, forced on, to wear a jacket. Whole.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Dan's forced into his wardrobe.
Who did your wardrobe on?
Well, the stylist. But I mean, I got to choose, you know, a few brands that, you know, that they could afford that I was happy with. But,
as much purple as possible.
Yeah.
Did you just show them your shoes and they had to match your outfits to
yeah,
your shoes?
Yeah, but I couldn't wear like really bright shoes too because that would like, even though they never even show my shoes.
No, whenever you walk off into that room yeah, to do, yeah, be a yeah. silent judge, yeah, it always cuts to you at the back of your
yeah,
shoes.
Nice, nice.
But, product.
Yeah, mate. But no, it's a, you but, know, look.
At least it's different to ABC where you can't show any brands or anything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't really show any brands on SBS, yeah. but, you know, I sort of, whatever.
Like, oh, yeah. Actually, it was really funny because Dan's show before this on that was on iView with Shelfie, where Dan would go to your house and make a meal out of whatever he found in your pantry and fridge. And I remember there were so many instances of you just saying, "Now we're going to use this chili sauce," instead of saying like sriracha,
yeah, or like liquid seasoning,
yeah,
instead of like Maggi seasoning.
That's
like,
wild. Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's just like no one knows what liquid seasoning is, man. What the hell?
But you know, you and I have been talking about television. I mean, both of us have pitched different, and Mitch as well, pitched different ideas to different stations and online for years now. It's really hard
getting
things up and running.
It is really hard. And even if you have an idea for your own show, the chance for that network to get it commissioned is very slim to none. So, you know, this show was developed before I was even on, like before, it was even thought of me to be on it. And my agent just one day just went, "Look, they want you to be on the show. You know, if you could just be at this place for a chemistry test,
yeah, right,
to see how you go well with certain other people and just see how." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know, I never even heard of this show." And she's just, yeah, "Just rock up, man." She's like, "Just rock up, the show's already been commissioned, they're just looking for someone to host it." And I just rocked up and they just asked me to just pretend to judge something that was put up and eat it and stuff, so worked out well.
Yeah, you've got very good disgusting eating habits. But yeah, I feel like that's a really integral part of like.
Yeah, I chew really loudly, like very loudly.
On MasterChef, it always like is that zoom on Matt Preston's mouth. He goes like,
yeah. You've got George's head like 2 centimeters from the bowl.
Like, Preston's like a pelican. Like, just eat. Like,
We're going to put this on the video. But yeah, I mean, like I remember ages ago you were talking about doing a show with your mum. And I know you've done like, you've had
bits and pieces.
Yeah. And I remember even one of them, like, you know, all of us have all wanted to do a show where we just go to our mates' restaurants. We go to places in the burbs. But
yeah,
you can't do that shit on ABC. You can't promote other people's restaurants.
ABC, you can't do that because we had a lot of... you know, with the old production company I was with, we had a lot of ideas for pitches where, you know, go to Cabramatta and go to like the Hidden Eats or from Fairfield for the, you know, whatever. And they're like, "We can't do it."
That shit would be so popular.
I know.
Yeah.
Sounds more like a Vice thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Vice Munchies online.
Yeah.
Hit us up, Vice. We'll do it.
Yeah. Cause channel, like, unless there's all the crying and screaming and shit, like, and like a big network's not going to get behind it.
Yeah. So Chef's Line, we've had Vietnamese done. We're in the middle of Africa.
African's really cool because, you know, it's one of those cuisines when in Australia, not many people know about it. They don't realize, you know, it's not a country, it's a continent.
Yeah. So it's almost
it's so vast.
You have European or Asian wick.
Exactly. So, like, you know, there's so many influences from, you know, obviously the Middle East, in North African cuisine, and then also Asian influence, because, you know, on the border and so on. So it's sort of it's crazy, you know, how vast, you know, African cuisine is, you know. So it's
Afrikola Duncan, when he was on the Mitch in the first time, it was just as he changed his restaurant from a North African restaurant to a South African restaurant.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I haven't actually watched any of the African episodes yet, but did you get...
I watched the first one.
Did you...
The first one was really good, actually. Yeah,
are they like
really,
kind of classic, hilarious, classic African-ish dishes?
We, you know, we're doing peri peri chicken. That was the first one. The second one was this really classic stew called poiki. I've never heard of it until I researched it for the show. But that was, you know, that's basically a classic stew like all other countries that they have. And then I think tonight is boorvers.
Oh, yep.
The sausage. And then I think the last one's some type of more like a Western African inspired fish dish.
So that's funny, because we're dandelion, like you could tell they were just cooking dishes that they serve every night and have done for years.
Yeah.
Like Duncan doesn't do any of that stuff on his menu.
Exactly.
At the moment, anyway.
He still does the peri-peri.
Well, he does the peri-peri, but... He does the peri-peri, but now, because he changes every year or every 3 months to a different region of Africa,
yeah.
Every year to a different region of Africa. So, you know.
Hmm.
It's really awesome that, you know, the African week was really good, as well as, like, those weeks where you can't really play up the cuisine. Like, something like Indian week... You know, the home cooks have a very good chance, because, you know, something like a curry, that a home cook makes using a recipe from, you know, their grandma.
Generations and generations.
How are you going to beat that?
Yeah.
How is a chef going to beat your grandma's recipe for, like, you know, a certain curry?
And also, like, yeah, like Indian chefs, there's home style and there's restaurant style. They're two very different.
Exactly.
As well, like, you know, the ghee is different.
Yeah, because people be surprised how good the home cooks are, because, you know, they'll be up against an apprenticeship in the first round, but they've only been cooking that certain cuisine for less than a year, or between 1 or 2 years, where these home cooks have had recipes passed down generation to generation.
What other cuisines have we got coming up?
We've got Lebanese, we've got Turkish, Chinese, Japanese, French, Italian, Mexican.
How many weeks is it?
13 weeks.
That's fucking crazy. That's 4 episodes that you're in each week.
I filmed 53 episodes in 28 days.
Dude, how recently?
The whole of January and the first 2 weeks of February.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't realize that it was going to be a nightly thing until the first episode finished.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to
be a once a week thing.
Yeah,
or something.
No, I thought it was going to be weekly.
No, it was hectic. It was pretty, like filming 2 episodes a day and just, you know.
Trying to have your energy levels up.
And and it's weird because we do those hours all the time in the kitchen, but we're always on our feet, you know. Here it's sort of like doing
stop,
TV.
Start,
yeah,
stop,
it's,
start,
it's
stop,
exhausting start. Even though you're not doing anything. You know what I mean?
You're just doing the same thing, repeating it.
Yeah.
Do another take, look at the camera and say
basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Now turn to the left instead of to the right. Crush your arms.
Were you working in the restaurant during that month?
I filmed 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then those 2 days I had off a week, I was working.
Fucking brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
That's how I, you know, instead of taking annual leave off, you know, that whole time, I could take, you know, annual leave for 3 days, and then 2 days I could work.
Yeah.
Earn a little bit more money.
Is there a Mexican week? Who did you choose? Because there's no, in my opinion, before I throw this restaurant under the bus, there's no good Mexican restaurants. So who did you choose?
It's El Publico in Perth.
Okay, cool. I've not been there. Can't judge. Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. They're pretty...
they have a pretty good rep.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I hope all of the Mexican chefs from that episode get tapped to open up their own spots, because we need more Mexican food.
I think we do, for sure. I don't know. Like, it's just sort of...
People keep trying.
White people keep
Mexican
trying.
Mexican places keep opening all the time.
Mm. I think they've just got to keep it simple, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, all the best tacos are just meat, onions and coriander with lime.
Yeah.
And a good salsa.
You know what I meant to ask you? I meant to ask if you could bring one of those stupid trophies.
Yeah, that's what's
no,
the point?
There was only one trophy.
Oh, no way.
So you just hand the same one. They don't even get... You just pass it
No,
on.
They got sent one later on.
They only made
but
the one.
But what is... No, they made like four.
But what is like, the point
made it with like
of the
a coat
trophy?
Hanger and a piece of wood.
Yeah, like the trophy doesn't achieve anything. You're always like...
Well...
And here's well, your trophy!
Well, that's the so beauty good. About it because these guys aren't competing for money. They nothing's motivating them except passion. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. It's sort of like it's...
So you get a wire, you get a coat hanger and a piece of wood.
That's right. And the honor of beating the restaurant,
you
mate.
You don't even get it, though. You get to hold it.
Yeah, you get to hold it.
And then maybe SBS will remember to send you it later.
And then all the contestants get to go eat at the restaurant at the end of the week,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and the food, so what the food if gets the, served.
It's a celebration of the cuisine.
Yeah, so if the restaurant loses, like, nothing happens.
Okay, so if the... So if the restaurant loses, let's say the sous chef loses, no one goes home, and two, that because there's two home cooks left against the sous chef, they both go against the head chef.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then if the head chef loses, he just gets shamed, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no like monetary stakes or anything like
if
that.
If the head chef loses to both of them in the final, then nothing. I mean.
Yeah.
The best plate is still decided.
Right.
And yeah, it was because that was like the first week, the dandelion, their chefs. And I love how it's like different tiered chefs, even though they're roles I've never heard of.
Yeah. Do you know what irritates me is that you have to say their qualification of chef every time you say their name.
Yeah, because...
Executive Chef Jeff.
Well, that's
Executive
because Jeff we're Jeff. We're in Executive the industry. We're in the Executive. Industry. It's sort of like we know all that shit.
Yeah, but you have to say it 50 times. Like, you say it 3 times. Okay, we know Jeff's the Executive Chef.
I think the producers should have gone out of their way to only get people who were named Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff.
It's because so if people have only just turned on the TV
I guess.
And it's on, do you get it?
Not really, but that's TV.
That's right.
That's TV.
So when do you hear if you know there's a potential for more series?
Don't know yet. I'm waiting.
Talk into your microphone, bro. Ice cream cone.
I don't know yet. I'm waiting to get the call. You know, the top guys of SBS really love the show. They pretty much, they said they greenlighted a second season before it even aired.
Oh, so, great. Yeah, well, you're a great host on it.
Yeah,
like I think.
Thank you, Andrew.
It's good because we knew you were gonna get a TV job that kind of would take you somewhere at some point, and you shine on this show pretty hard, I reckon. So, yeah,
you're a natural. Like we said it the other week that you have these tendencies when you're talking and stuff, and they're heaps amplified. When you're doing it for TV, because obviously the producer's like, Dan, you got to be more excited.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
I need it to be really get passionate. So, like, everything you do is, like, times 100. So, it's fucking hilarious to watch, but you're actually really natural.
I love your hand gestures. Like,
I know, I've got... I've so noticed fun. That. I've,
you don't
for
do
the
that
next,
in real life.
For the next season, I've got to watch my hands, because I'm every time I talk, I'm like, this...
That's fine. Moving your hands around is fine, but there's one moment where you and Mark are in the first week. You both have like this ridiculous Mr. Burns fingers going on. So funny. TV's crazy, guys. Stick to podcasting, in my opinion. Mm. Hey, guys, did you check out the top 50 restaurants in the world that were announced last week?
Sure.
I've got the full list in front of me, and this week, Dan Hong is going to read out every single one of them in the accent according to where that restaurant is located.
Were you still
and
down there
go.
For the awards, or did you come back?
No, I came back before the awards. I came back before the awards.
So, the full list is 50 restaurants that maybe you'll go to 3 of in your entire life. 11 Madison Park came first. And
You've been to 11 Madison, haven't you?
Yeah, years ago.
It's really funny that we actually...
You have as well?
No. We Lee Chan Lam was on a couple of weeks ago, and we made fun of 11 Madison Park, and then it won.
Yeah, it was kind of expected to win, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because the awards were there last year. Mm. It's like it's only natural that next year Bray and Attica will both go up
because
that's what Tourism Australia is hoping for.
Yeah.
Bray and Attica were the only Australian restaurants on the list. As they was Bray on the top 50 last year too?
No,
or
no
just outside?
First year. They were like 70. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
First year.
there's been a number of articles that have come out since the list was revealed, you know, some in support, like, you know, guides to how to eat at all these restaurants. Others, most part, it's been why these awards maybe are a bit shit.
Look, no one's going to agree with any list or any awards. I mean, the Michelin Guide cops a lot of shit too. So, it's sort of like, whatever. You know, you can never create a list that everyone will be happy with, you know? But it was funny, that article, you know?
Yeah,
like, don't have a restaurant in the Middle East or Los Angeles. like
Eater put out, like, guides to how to get on the top 50. A very cynical look at that. They put out many articles that are like, what's wrong with the 2017 World's 50 Best Restaurants list? They put out so many negative articles about it that they then had to put up an article that said, why we still cover the World's 50 Best Restaurants
list. Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. That's good.
But you know, like, all these award things, like, you know, we're in a world of, you know, if you have an opinion, you can write a think piece. You can write 10 think pieces about it. Like, this is a small drop in the ocean when you compare it to something like the Oscars or the, you know, other equivalents.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is almost like the Oscars of the restaurants.
It's turned into it.
It has. It really has, because, you know, the Michelin Guide is very secretive. You know, you don't know who. When they're in this and that, but the top 50, it's, you know, the guys who are in the top 50 vote in the top 50.
Yeah.
So it's, they know how to get up the rankings because they've got to schmooze with all their mates sort of like at these awards. Do you know what I mean? So it's sort of,
I mean, it's still a little bit secretive. Like, you don't know who all the voters are and stuff, but it changes every year. And I guess it depends who you talk to about it as well, sort of what opinion you get in regards to
I think it's a very credible list. I tend to ignore the rankings, but I think that the restaurants in that list all deserve to be on that list, if you know what I mean.
Disagree.
But just don't ignore the rankings.
Yeah.
They're all,
I don't know, any, you know, list that Gargan's on is
I haven't been, so I can't really say.
So, restaurant in Thailand, is it?
Yeah.
And you went and you had a bad
it's
experience.
It's the worst meal of my life. Really? If you put all of my worst meals together, that is still worse by far.
Can you give us a standout worst moment?
I've really tried to block it from my memory.
Well, I mean,
but I'm like, I ate there with Greeno, and I ate there with Pat Friedman,
yeah,
and I
ate
with Polisa from Chat Thai, and we all share that same opinion. It was fucking terrible.
Well, maybe it's better now. I don't know. But when
the same thing.
My sister Beck went there, and she said she looked at the wine list, and there were wines on the wine list that were crossed out in biro.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, alongside the awards last week, Tourism Australia put on a number of massive food events featuring some of the chefs that were on the lineup. They also, huge amount of Australian chefs were flown to Melbourne to do a couple of different dinners and brunches and lunches, all kinds of shit. Dan, were you down there for any part of
that? Not for the award. I was there for Melbourne Food and Wine, which they sort of combined with the top 50. Yeah. Yeah. But it was fun. I mean, Melbourne was like a really vibrant.
It was buzzing.
Oh, it was buzzing.
It's also the start of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival as well. And a really good friend of mine from Melbourne, a comedian, Tommy Dasilo, who I make fun of on all my other podcasts.
The Egg.
He was saying that he bumped into his, like, an old housemate that he lived with for 2 years. And she was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And he was like, oh, yeah, festival just started. So, you know, I'm really busy, you know, got my shows on and, you know, they're doing really well. And she's like, oh, food and wine festival. He's like, no, I'm a fucking comedian, remember? Fuck. I was down there for the after party of the awards. While the awards were on, I was drinking many bottles of wine in the incredible That's Amore pop-up that was run by...
Oh. That was awesome. That was probably one of my highlights of being in Melbourne.
That was the only thing that I'm pissed off that I missed out on.
That was awesome. It was like being like almost like at a tapas bar in Spain, just like standing up.
It was
and
fucking crazy.
Passing plates around.
It's like this little hole in the wall almost, like kind of like cafe. It's a coffee shop in the daytime. Yeah. Pasi Patanin and Giorgio Di Maria, both of them who have been on the Mitch in the past. One does food, one does wine. They took over the space and you had Pasi in the kitchen just serving up the passiest food.
The Pussy. It's
very pussy. What would you, how do you even describe his food?
Well, it's Pussy's Italian food, because when he's teamed with Giorgio, he cooks Italian food.
It's weird, like, which Nordic is, Italian.
If Pussy decides to cook food in the genre that you cook food in, it's really bad for you. Because he's going to do it fucking better than you can.
He actually used one of your pasta recipes, like the actual pasta,
the dough.
Dough itself.
What amazes me is how he can, you know, put two to three ingredients on one dish, and it's like amazing. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if Pussy decided to cook Chinese, like, I know. You'd be fucked, bro. You know what I mean? Like, if the dip was still open and Pussy decided to open a diner, you'd be fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus, he uses like the cheapest ingredients, so his food cost is like 5%.
Yeah. he's fucking so good.
So he did. I had like a pasta with like shrimp oil, prawn oil, and then he did like a beef tartare with the flavors of pizza. Did you get that?
Yeah,
it was like a cardboard pizza box.
That's Amore. That's what it's named after. Yeah,
right. And it was like
also that shrimp oil he had left over from Cafe Pasty.
It was just frozen.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
No way.
Cafe Pasty closed like, 18 months
ago. Maybe it was from the first at Samore.
Right.
It's like, I got all this shrimp oil left over. I've got to use it.
The that croquette was really good. Did you have that with the anchovy
that was
inside?
Insane. Yeah,
yeah, that was sick.
And then he did his Carillion taco.
Carillion tacos. Yeah.
With the
good to eat that again.
The pie and mushroom and celery.
Yeah, the raw salad. Insane, yeah, that was really good
that
too.
Was Spencey's favorite.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah, it was an incredible pop up. And so he's just in like the corner. All he has is like a sandwich press and a deep fryer.
They drove all the equipment. They drove down in a car from Sydney.
And one little induction cooktop.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And his cool room was like a bucket with ice in it. So he put like takeaways and stuff to keep cold.
He drove his Paco jet down and everything, and there wasn't even like enough PowerPoints to use all the equipment that they took down.
Yeah. And he had to borrow a freezer from someone too.
Yeah. So he prepped at Lee Ho Fook during the day and then went over. And then he dropped by yesterday, and he was saying they were pretty much there till 5:30 every morning.
Just like, boozing,
like, because Giorgio is just a fiend. And like on the
it was an incredible vibe in there.
Yeah, on the second last night, they were there till like 4 o'clock, and Pussy was like, that's it, I'm fucking cleaning up. And then all the relay guys and stuff rocked up because Embla had closed. So everybody left Embla and went to that Samore. And then at 5:30, Pussy was like, fuck, that's it, everyone get the fuck out. And they cleaned up. And everyone was like just out on the street. And then when Pussy left, they all went back inside and kept drinking.
Wow.
So they had like a temporary license. And Giorgio, as I was leaving, I was like, man, this is pretty wild. He's like, man, I'm going to try and lose the license tonight.
that was his aim, to lose the license by the time it ended.
But it was crazy. It was like the ultimate, okay, Melbourne, I get it. You are allowed to do way cooler things here.
Everyone there would have been in jail if it was in Sydney.
Yeah, straight up. Like, you had people just drinking in out the, like about 50 people in this alley, in this famous Melbourne laneway,
just a few milk crates with some street art,
just drinking incredible wine and smashing like big pizza boxes full of raw beef. it was just like Mike Baird's fucking nightmare. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Your video of Pussy putting the pizza box in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
That was so good.
What?
Hongi was filming, like doing Insta vids, and then Pussy was like putting the pizza boxes in the dishwasher to like save money. It was just a G up.
It was just a joke. Okay.
It's too expensive. I have to watch the video.
That's unbelievable. But yeah, the actual party itself, it was, I got booked for it as the joint birthday of Neil Perry, who's turning 60, Ben Shuri from Attica, who is turning 40, and Pat Nurse from Gourmet Travel, who is also turning 40. Apparently, he turned 40 in like October last year. but Pat removed himself from that equation. So it was the joint 100th birthday of Neil Perry and Ben Shuri. And also, it was the official after party of the Top 50 Awards. So you had, like, when I DJ these events, like, I lock in, I know that I DJ off a laptop with, like, fucking a year's worth of music on it. So if the night needs to go in a particular direction, I'm ready for it. When you DJ to a massive amount of people, even if they're just from the same country, like, I did, like, the NOMA Sydney after party. Top three worst gigs of my life. I'm sorry to Catherine if you're listening, who booked me and paid for that gig, but like, it was all these chefs from all over the world, and front of house service, like, you know, everyone from that had been involved with Noma themselves, who all wanted something completely different. Then you had all the, like, the Mervat cunts, all the people with money who funded it, all the friends. Every single person in that room wanted completely different music. And I just got, they end up like,
did you have like every second person coming up to you and going, can you, do you have this? Do you have that?
No, worse than that. They're like, hey man, no one likes this music.
Oh my gosh.
You know, you need to play Dio. You need to like the most drastically, like you'd go from like 80s metal to like a brand new rap song to like, you know, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. It was fucked. It was no good.
And sounds like a wedding
gig. I had
some
lady from Mervac like telling me I would never work in this town again. And she was so pissed. And I ended up asking someone from the venue to get rid of her.
Wow.
But so I was prepared for a repeat of that. So I doubled my fee. And the first like couple hours, people slowly started trickling in. It was all like familiar faces who would just kind of come in, me playing to an empty dance floor. It was like a Patron sponsored event. So I was playing with a like a massive Patron street art banner in front of, like, the rest of it is like this beautiful, like, you know, elegant white space, and then the DJ has like this shitty piece of graffiti in front of him. So people, and you know, it's louder where I'm playing, so people kind of just look in and go, oh fuck, and walk back out. But Phil Wood was an early, the first on the dance floor, closely followed by Clayton Wells. Phil Wood. Paul Carmichael were there. Good who's who of Sydney chefs coming down. I was DJing from 11 o'clock. The party did not kick off until 1 a.m. But when it kicked off, it was suddenly the best fucking party ever. It was so out of nowhere, so weird and fun. Neil Perry on the dance floor nonstop from 1 till 5. He's 60 years old.
Impressive.
I can't do that, and I'm 32. More on fitness later.
Actually, well, we will be able to do that.
Yeah, it was my birthday at midnight. That by the, when I was playing as well, but no one was celebrating my birthday.
No one gave a shit.
No one, and they still don't. They never will. But the weirdest part of the night came from all these chefs that I kind of recognized, Dominique Kren, from, where's she from?
Atelier Kren.
Yep. Who's like the number two female chef in the world or something, whatever the fuck that means. But she was like the rudest. But like that kind of like, I'm partying with you now, but play something different. And the worst thing that, this is two DJ talk. If it's two DJ talk, we can talk about food or something in a second. But the worst request I ever get, and it often is from like an idiot promoter, will just be someone coming up to them and doing the spiral motion with their hands and saying like, party it up. And like these really vague instructions, like, oh, do you want me to play faster music? Yeah. Do you want me to play, yeah, and or you want me to make it louder? They're like spinning their hands yeah. around, like, you know, do this, blah, 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 blah. And she kept doing that every single song. And she was like, what kind of music do you want to hear? And she was like, you know, garbling some like, you know, a little bit Spanish, a little bit hip hop, a little bit up in the air, and I worked out she wanted to hear trap. So I ended up, yeah, it was a surprisingly big amount of like new rap. And then because the 11 bridge, no fuck,
11 Madison.
11 Madison. Madison, too difficult, guys.
You've just literally been calling 11 Madison 11 bridge all week.
You shouldn't have corrected me. You should just let me
is that when you put on New York.
So, oh, have you seen that video?
I saw that vid. Everyone posted that when they were all on the
wankers
on the table.
So, actually, the guys from 11 Madison were actually like very nice, but everyone on their behalf was like, 11 Madison here, you have to play New York songs. And I was like, fuck yeah, no problem. I'll play 50 Cent. I played like fucking 11 G Unit songs for 11 Madison. And then these idiots kept coming back up to me like, this woman was like Irish, and like another person was like, you know, like Dutch, like coming up to me like, you've got to play this, you know, I've got to play the New York stuff. I'm like, this guy's from New York. 50 Cent is New York. Like, this is like, it doesn't get more New York. This like, no, play the song that says New York, New York. I'm like, oh fuck. So I started playing that Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, you know, whatever, the Empire State of Mind. I hate, that's one of my top three worst songs of all time. So I play it for him, they win, whatever. Everyone kind of gets it. But then this one guy who's like, I think American, like this young, smaller guy, goes, hey, you got to play.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kiss your keys. New York, New York. I'm like, this song's fucking playing right now.
And then like, you know, they're dancing to that. I keep playing like New York stuff, but like, you know, New York to me is like Rough Riders,
yeah,
and shit.
It's, yeah,
like,
the Locks.
That's what I was playing.
Yeah, man.
And
Bad Boy.
It's like Dipset and shit.
Yeah, I had a bunch of Dipset. went down like a lead balloon. suddenly all the 11 Madison and Neil Perry and Dominique Crenn are all up on the counter. And they're holding champagne bottles, and an organizer runs and says, "You gotta play Frank Sinatra, New York, New York." I'm like, man, I'm playing fucking Jadakiss right now. Why the fuck would I have Frank Sinatra? Oh wait, I've got Frank Sinatra. And so I played it, you know, da, 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 and then just spraying the crowd with champagne like they were on the fucking Grand Prix. It was a funny evening. I put up an amazing video of Dan Pepperell from Hubert dancing to Ying Yang Twins and Neil Perry.
I was a Ying Yang Twin.
Did you see? It was like, to the window, to the wall. But if anyone's listening, I love playing corporate food events, especially when everyone gets that fucking loose, because it's an endless source of entertainment. So on that note, 60-year-olds on the dance floor all night. Yeah. Fucking hell. Where does he get that stamina?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Allegedly.
Cocaine is allegedly a hell of a drug. So I've mentioned on the podcast in the last few weeks that I'm trying to get fit. And I can say proudly now that this is the least I've weighed after just 4 weeks of doing this F45 exercises, the least I've weighed since I opened the dip.
That's amazing. Yeah, well done, Lev. That's incredible.
I'm still like, after I had the dip open for about 6 months, I'm about that weight now. And I've like, you know, I've struggled with maintaining, you know, I've just kind of been comfortably overweight my entire life. I mean, like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I don't care about anything. Yeah. So why would I care about that? But recently I realized that my son, Archie, is like dangerously close to the age of calling me a fat cunt. And for some reason I can hear it from everyone else in my life, but the idea of hearing it from him, I'm like, I'm not ready for that yet. So I'm trying to beat him to that point. I said that to, I was getting fitted for shoes. I'm like, yeah, my son's going to be able to call me fat soon. So I'm trying to beat him. And then she like, fit in my shoes, and she's like, "Good luck, you know, beating your son. He must run really fast."
I'm like, no,
anyway. but I know Hongi, you know,
I decided to get fit for the exact same reason when I found out I was having my second child, Omar, and I just went, "Look, I've just got to lose weight and get fit, basically."
Because you were both fat cunts.
So you're talking about me 3.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Hongi about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been a fat shit for all my life. Yeah, I haven't exercised at all until 2.5 years ago. Yeah.
I have
at
the
all.
Opposite problem. I can't put on weight. But I'm also pretty unfit now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm no...
Fuck, I wish I could.
I'm too skinny.
Both our wives as well. Like, Bianca needs to eat more carbs and that kind of shit. Yeah. She needs to put on weight, where I need the opposite. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah. But you feel... When you exercise, you feel not just physical benefits, but mental benefits, and you can fucking endorphins, be a bunch of CrossFit wankers or whatever. But I notice in my moods at work and how I deal with stress and all that kind of shit too. If I haven't been exercising, and I go to Pilates once, I do a private Pilates lesson once a week, and I try and swim three times a week. And I was doing yoga, but I haven't done yoga in a while. The ability to handle stress and be calm and stuff is so much better when you're exercising and doing something physical, and your energy levels are better.
Your energy levels are better. Your focus is better. You know, when you work out in the morning, I feel that, you know, you can really conquer your day at work and really focus on what you're doing. You're not lethargic. You don't feel like shit. You know, as chefs, you're just tired all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't concentrate. Yeah, and exactly. I feel that, you know, if you work out, you can sort of
clarify. Yeah. Yeah. And especially like when you add to that being a dad as well.
Yeah.
You know, every parent is heaps tired all the time.
Yeah.
Compounding that with being a chef.
But like, you would think that, like, actually making yourself do exercise and putting yourself out, you know, for an hour in each day would make you more tired.
No,
but you get energy from it.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like, you know, you're sore, but you're energized. Yeah. For me, like, the weirdest thing is, like, thinking back to when I had the restaurant, you know, which served, you know, proudly unhealthy food. And I would, you know, I would try and eat healthy while cooking fucking 200 burgers and however many things of fries and hot dogs a night. But it was just, you know, you would kind of go, you put off eating, and then suddenly you get busy, and then suddenly you're just cramming like all the leftover chips and corn chips in your mouth, and that's your dinner. But from, like, there are tasks that, you know, just being on your feet that long, that is, you do stay somewhat fit.
Yeah, you're constantly, it's not like you're sitting down in a chair all day. You're
exactly,
moving
around.
You're,
and, like, you know, you're lifting 20 kilo boxes constantly, all that kind of stuff, you know, but.
Yeah, you are, but you're not. Like, it's sort of like,
it doesn't make you fit. Like, it can fuck your body up.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you fit.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not 100% focused on, you know, getting your heart rate.
Yeah, you know, but I was really excited about when the restaurant closed. I was like, oh, sick. And now, because I won't be eating all that shit all the time, you know, I'll naturally lose weight. But I mean, I think that small amount of, like, you know, of exercise that I do, in my work and moving. I mean, I walk everywhere. Like, I have, like, a decent amount of exercise day to day anyway. But making the move from like, I was pretty much full-time food writing in a year after closing the restaurant. So I was sitting down. For the first time in my life, I was sitting down for an entire day, and then only getting up to eat a meal out, you know, eat a big meal for lunch and then eat a big meal for dinner. And I actually ended up putting on more weight after closing the restaurant. So, yeah, like, being active is fucking awesome. I hate having a diet. It sucks. I was at the Easter show on Saturday, and I had to watch everyone, including my family members, eat, like, all the good shit, burgers, cheese on a stick.
Oh, fresh my fave. Yes.
I brought a green smoothie, bro. It was dire.
That's the good thing for me. When I start exercising, I don't have to diet.
Yeah, well,
I have to eat more.
I mean, that's the, you know, I've sort of stopped dieting, and the only reason I exercise is so I can eat whatever the fuck I want. Yeah. But then I realize that, you know, mentally it's not great. So I'm trying to start eating more vegetables
back on the brown rice.
Maybe.
I just try and, like, you know, if I know I'm going to have a heavy, like, I'm going to go to Sixpenny for dinner tomorrow night. We had Monday Hong dinners on Monday night. Oh, that was sick, though, because I just cut out all carbs and just had Vietnamese herbs and meat. That's all I ate.
Nice.
The best fucking dinner ever. Yeah. Thank you so much to Angie Hong and Hongi for having us on Monday. Long time coming.
I've been waiting for that invite for years.
The most prestigious dinner event in Sydney.
And when Hongi, we should talk about it, when Hongi invited me, he was really like, it was really like a charity. It was like a charity invite. Hey, bro, mum said there's one seat left. I guess you can have it. And then it rugged up. And then I think, did you message Levs after?
No, because I told mum on the day on Monday, I was like, Mitch is coming. And then she told me, oh, there's actually two more seats
because the beta comers up. Right.
Talking to your microphone, Hongi.
Sorry. Sorry.
The other hand.
There's actually two. Yeah.
You're not on television right now, bro. It's not.
There's actually two seats left on the day, invite Levens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which turned out very well because now we're all here today.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The Mandai Hongding is like it's institution, but for a very select amount of people, unless you're Morgan McClone and just rock up whenever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But every Monday night you do the big family Hong dinner.
Yeah,
and you know because of your family, you
and it's usually I can't invite whoever I want. Like it's always my mum's that invites all these random people I don't even know.
Yeah,
you know she's like I invited that person who I met yesterday. And I'm like, fuck. You know,
but it's funny too because from just having that family meal every week and you putting it as a hashtag, that's the reason why you went to Melbourne Food and Wine.
That is here. That whole event we did was inspired by Monday Hong Dinners.
Look up the hashtag Monday Hong Dinners on Instagram if you want to check out the standard menu. But it was like, you know, all my fucking favorite stuff. It was the sugarcane prawn, those amazing spring rolls that you cook the rice paper in. Like you fry it for longer than your average shitty spring roll. So yeah, it's super crisp.
Yeah, you got to, they fry for like almost 10 minutes. Yeah.
What else was there? Those beetle leaf,
beef lemongrass. Yeah, beetle leaves. Yeah. So and then
and
it's always
grows the beetle leaves and most of the herbs herself.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Out in the back. And so cool. it always usually ends with like a noodle soup.
Yeah.
So.
Fuck, that was so tasty.
And you always get, you're like, I fall for the same mistake every single week.
Yeah,
I
always eat too many
rice paper rolls.
And I thought that was all it was. I'm like, that's awesome. And then I was leaving and your mum was like, noodle soup. You can sit down. But yeah, so like when I know I've got like a real heavy meal, I will try and like counter that by having like a light, you know, protein heavy breakfast. And then
how long are you going to continue this for?
Like yeah, because you're 3 weeks in now?
Yeah.
And three
and
like,
a half weeks.
You're pretty converted.
Yeah.
Like you're one step away from
what's
preaching
the goal?
About it on Facebook.
What's the goal? Like when you can
I'm never
going
to preach about it, but I will let people know because it is important to let people know what you're trying to do and let them know that you are like, you know, if someone's listening right now that is overweight and wants to lose weight and you know, your first milestone, if you realize, oh shit, you know, I've lost this many kilos in this amount of weeks, or you want to admit that you've, you know, stuck to an exercise routine or an exercise class for a long period of time, like, tell people about it because no one's going to be like, oh, fucking finally, cunt.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, good for you, good man. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. And that's going to inspire you to keep doing it.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
At worst, I'll be guilty of that.
Yeah. I've never seen so much positive reinforcement come your way.
Like, yes, you are a fat
shut
shit.
The fuck up, Levins. Fucking Levins. This. And now everyone's like, yes, Levins, good on you. Get those burpees in, boy.
Just quickly, Hongi, worst F45 exercises, go.
the rowing machine, anything to do with burpees, anything to do with burpees. Well, the thing about the rowing machine is that no one's telling you to go as fast as you can. So the rowing machine at F45 is sort of like, oh, I can just go slow now. Right. But it's really like, but burpees are, anything to do with burpees are fucked.
Burpees is like this, you do a push-up and then you kind of jump back
yeah.
up. Yeah,
I did, today I did 22 or something where it's sort of like you have a partner and you do twice as much and you switch and three pods. There was like a million burpees. It was hectic. It was like, you know, when you're holding like the dumbbells and you've got to go like this and then
punch,
do a burpee and then jump and then do that. And it's just like that another stuff, 40 seconds of that.
That stuff would be really hard for me because my rotator cuffs in my shoulders are fucked. So anything.
Oh, it mean, fucking injures you. F45 is not safe. Like it's pretty like.
Any shoulder.
I fucked my ankle.
Are good. They're kind of.
Yeah.
If they see you not holding a stance well, they'll like they'll warn you.
And
like,
but there's a lot of jumping and just sort of like box jumping. Jumps and stuff.
All
like
that stuff's fine, but the shoulder exercises are what kills me.
So my next gig is this Saturday morning. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. to do the 6 till 9 a.m. classes. I'm DJing at F45, and that doing that once a month gets me free gym membership. I'm such a.
Cunt. That's pretty good, man. That's like just say. That's like. It's like $60 a week.
Yeah, you gotta. That's the hustle, bro.
I know it is. Yeah,
just how long's your gig? 1 hour?
3 hours.
Yeah,
that's 240. $80 an hour.
It's less than my hourly rate. But it's all right.
You come out even. Yeah. You come out even and not being a fat.
Also, it's fun. Like the guys that run it, like, you know, it's like these two, you know, enormous Polynesian dudes, and I walked in, one of them's like, oh, halfway crooks. So there's like, I don't know, like, you know,
so then you like when you went in for your first class.
He was like, yeah, his brother recognized
it. Hey, shout out to F45, Parramatta, Haymarket, word. Give me some free memberships.
North Parramatta, bro. Don't get it confused. But yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I guess it you know, my friend Ray, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, Ray Jones, he lets himself have bad nights, bad days, but then he forces himself to get up the next morning and sweat the, you know, sweat the
boot. Oh, there's nothing more hectic than doing F45 after a big night of drinking. Yeah. It's the worst, it's but like, you feel so good about it.
It was yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's cocktails and this must be the place. Smell pretty good. Also, I'm regularly the only dude in my class. Yeah. I don't know if that's appealing to anybody.
Did you go 7:15 this morning?
I went 7:15 this morning.
F45, can you create a 9:30 class?
There is, bro.
For hospitality people? What? There's not a Haymarket.
Oh, right.
I think it depends which one you go to.
Well, in there's the city, it's not. Yeah.
I got a 9:15 one and there's a 12:15 one lunchtime, which is real good too.
Damn, 9:15.
I think Paddington might have like 9:15, 9:30.
Anyway, so many people would probably just tune. Because this is the thing. Like a couple of weeks ago, if you had told me that, like, if Hong is going to come on and talk about fitness, you I would have been, get fucked. Fuck off forever. That's not going to happen. So, I understand, like, there is that, like, prickly kind of, like, if you're accepting that you're going to be out of shape your whole life, or, like, you know, you're a little bit defensive about it, immediately you harden that shell. You don't want to fucking hear about it. Someone would, like, post a gym selfie. Hongi would post a fucking 100 fucking Instagrams that you fucking running.
I'm fucking proud of my progress.
No, exactly. I get it now.
Yeah. But I was like, he used to rag on him so much. Soon Lev's going to be the selfies in the mirror.
Hashtag gains will be my.
I've been posting my lifting these days, mate. Mm-hmm. Mate, fuck. 140 squat yesterday, bruh. Don't worry about it.
It's good and it's important, especially like being a chef can really fuck your body up. Like my body is pretty much fucked from being a chef, so we should all start doing shit when we're younger and not getting old and go, oh fuck, I need to do something before I can't walk anymore. So it's important.
But the thing is, when you're a commis chef or a chef de party, you don't have time to work out because you're fucking working like 15 hours a day. It's only when we're head chefs and we got time to work out for an hour a day.
But if you know, if you do have the time, you know, we've spoken about the importance of group activities and you know, meditative experiences with people that you work with in the kitchen.
Team bonding.
This kind of thing is perfect for that. Mm. Good for morale.
Yeah.
So we're going to end the show with an email. This email comes from Tim. It's some pretty good ones in here. Hey guys, if Mitch decided to give up his share on Acme and gave it to Andrew, that's me, Levins, what would you do in the kitchen and what would your hallmark dish be? So before I answer this for myself, can you answer what you think my dish would be? Because since I've closed the restaurant and I was lazy anyway.
It would be a young cheesy on Jats.
It's a Frankfurt on a Jats cracker.
I don't know. What are you? Are we presuming that you keep it the same in the same vein?
My favorite thing,
pasta thing.
My favorite thing that you can't get anywhere is that classic New York Italian, the Soprano, the Jersey Italian, that American, you know, like
baked ziti.
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Gabagool.
I would, you know, I
prosciutto. My favorite, that prosciutto, that provolone.
My favorite thing to cook at home is like
ricotta,
spaghetti and meatballs, and you simmer the meatballs in the sauce for like as long as you can, and then you scoop all the oil off the top, and then you put the oil.
Have you done a spaghetti and meatballs before?
Yeah, we've done like variations, not a traditional American style red
but
sauce.
But I would absolutely fuck up your restaurant. But I would. It would be
closed
like
in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. and also with me in it, you have to get rid of the M in Acme and then put an A in there.
An A.
So it's like
Ace.
Great. Also, what are your opinions on the Sydney Greek dining scene? I should point out that Tim's last name is Kasimatis.
Yeah, sure. I wasn't going to try it, so I'll butcher it more.
It could be Kasimatis. That's even way worse. What are your opinions on the Sydney Greek dining scene?
No. What are your opinions? No, tell the truth. What?
And we're going to get there, mate. Okay. And how would you feel about seeing a somewhat contemporary Greek restaurant, I guess in the same vein as Acme, opening up with most dishes cooked over wood and showcasing dishes originated from Greece, which have been forgotten and disregarded by many Western Greek restaurants? There will be no roast lamb and potatoes or gyros or goddamn fucking Greek's law with a Sydney style twist to it. Think the transition that Italian dining made 20 years ago when you saw people evolving out of the classic neighborhood trattoria fair and refining Italian food and diversifying it here with more Italian products being introduced. Just Greek. Would Sydney be ready for that?
Man, Sydney's ready for anything, like cooked over wood.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds sick. You know, like...
I think there are restaurants that are trying to do modern Greek. You know, like 1824 and stuff.
I haven't been 1824.
And like...
Apollo.
Is that modern though? That's sort of...
No, not really. But that's like the same sort of thing as like Tim saying is any time you go to a Greek restaurant, there's the roast lamb shoulder.
Yeah, which is the signature dish of Apollo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went to Alpha recently and that, like, you know...
Is that modern enough?
No, not modern. Not, like, the best dishes there are, like, you know, what's that incredible smoked roe dip that they do?
Tarama.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I honestly, I just want that and fresh pita and then I'm like, five hats.
I haven't had a good meal at Alpha, but I quite like Apollo, but I never order the lamb. Like, I'll get Tarama.
Yeah,
I agree there needs to be more...
Yeah,
Greek.
There's definitely room
smaller.
For it.
That's the problem. Alpha and Apollo are fucking enormous. What's the point? Like, I mean, I understand the point. They make heaps of money, but I would love a small, like, you know, imagine like the equivalent of like Sagra, the Italian sporting,
which is closing, isn't it?
It's just change of chefs.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It's for sale.
Oh shit.
Anytime someone wants to do something over wood, and put their like a little bit of a traditional. But contemporary spin on it, like, I think people are going to be down for it. If it's quality.
Yeah.
Like, you can say that, and that sounds fucking really tasty to me, but whether you execute it or not is a different story. If you do something and execute it well, of course, then you'll get behind you. You know what I mean?
Mm. And we're kind of...
I think it's not only about... Sorry. I just think it's not only about the food anymore with Sydney. Sydney's fucked like that. Like, it's sort of like... Yeah, it's actually not about the food.
Yeah.
It's about the whole package.
Ambience. Yeah. Service.
Yeah. Social media.
Yeah, I mean, I there's so many places that would rather go to a place that has good service and a great atmosphere and okay food than a place with amazing food and with no vibe.
Yeah.
And then they're the restaurants that sort of close down, even though the food is amazing.
There was that boom of like kind of more modern Euros joints, like Kepo Street Kitchen and a few out like that way. So maybe that could translate into like an expanded kind of menu for a Greek joint. I don't know. Good Euros is the best, but yeah. I mean, I understand that. That was the worst dish I had at Apollo. It was like a Wagyu Euros, which, like, I mean, I should have known that was going to suck. Because why would you do Euros with Wagyu? Yeah. Look, if someone opens it, we'll check it out. We're now getting people on our accounts like asking us to go to their restaurants. There's a new wood fired pizza place in Alexandria. We were
free
invited
meals
to.
Or what, bro?
I don't know. Let's see.
Man, free meal.
I'll turn into one of those bloggers that emails restaurants to get a free meal for coverage. I have 500 social media followers. I would like a free meal for a review.
And then the chef owner comments and goes, "Lol."
This is a good segue. We should end the show on a hilarious thing that happened over the week. a regular diner to Acme decided to check out.
Was they regular? Were they regular?
They said they were previously a fan.
They've been to Acme for dinner before. I don't think they're regular diners.
And I think we can talk about this without making broad assumptions and insulting this guy too much.
Can we though?
So he said he was a fan of your pasta, and he went to check out the brunch menu, which you do on Saturdays. It's a set brunch menu. What is it? $60?
$50.
$50. That's fucking cheap as fuck.
Yes, it is.
It's cheap. And you change the menu pretty much every weekend.
Yeah, correct.
And so there are some experimental style dishes, or just things that you wouldn't normally see.
Well, what I've noticed, it's totally not even in the style of Acme. It's he just puts whatever he likes to eat on. Exactly. Like, it's sort of...
Exactly.
So at the moment, last weekend, you had grapefruit in sesame oil.
Last weekend was fresh grapefruit with a sesame dressing, which was sesame oil, brown sugar, verjuice, olive oil, chives and sesame seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Filipino sausage and egg sandwich, which is on pandesal, longanisa, fried egg, barbecue sauce.
And that's the... you make that bread, right?
No, that bread comes from out west, from a bakery out in the hood, in Mount Druitt. And we make the sausage and we make the barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a choice of a main thing. So, you have a vegetarian option, a seafood option.
Oh, the roll was a fucking entree, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
So, everyone gets the fruit. You get a fruit plate to share. Everyone gets their own sandwich. Then you choose a main. So last week we did roast sweet potato with mustard butter, prawn sinigang, which is like a Filipino tamarind-based soup. Yeah. And a Cambodian style barbecue pork neck with rice and pickle salad and scallion, ginger scallion dressing, and then like a chili sauce as well. And then you get a dessert. And so the dessert last week was donuts with caramel and ricotta. So old mate came in.
This guy comes in and he put up a picture of the filet sausage and egg sandwich. Sadly, the only appetizing item with brunch at Acme Sydney. So he tags your restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And geotagged it, which is how I found it.
Also, coffee, which was absolutely foul, is espresso, cold drip, or long black only.
Stop. I don't have to offer every fucking coffee under the sun. We're not a cafe. We don't have a barista. It's not up to me to offer 1,300 different styles of coffee. We've decided that we do cold drip, pour over, espresso, long black, and if you want, you can have cold milk on the side.
What did this person want? What type of coffee did this person want?
He probably wanted a half milk frappuccino.
Like a fucking caramel macchiato. Exactly.
Here's when you immediately just go, okay, this guy's like, you know, he's not to be taken seriously. The height of hipster pretension is what he is how he describes the coffee options. Definitely come here for dinner, but there are far better places for brunch. Hashtag food porn, hashtag Sydney eats, hashtag Sydney life, spelled LYF, hashtag brunching, hashtag Sydney restaurants, hashtag very disappointed, hashtag overhyped, hashtag not worth it, hashtag we are Acme. First of all, I found this post because I was doing my regular search of hashtag very disappointed on Instagram.
Okay, so back to his coffee point. After being informed of the coffee options, he informed the service staff that it would be very hard to win him back over after such a poor showing on the coffee front.
Right.
So, I don't know which side...
the start of his meal?
I don't know which side the pretension is on.
Sure.
So, I saw this at about 11:30 midnight after service, scrolling through Instagram, doing the ordering, and I had quite a chuckle. So, I commented on this photo, lol.
I've done literally the same thing to reviews like 100 all the time.
I generally like a good response. I generally like them, and sometimes I comment, lol.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he tagged you directly. Like, the idea that you wouldn't see it or respond in some way.
He obviously wanted someone to grovel and apologize and, you know, but he wasn't a very nice customer. He wasn't very nice to the service staff.
And that's a stupid review.
And it's a stupid post. So, and I thought it was funny, so I lolled.
And then he says to you, "What an insightful response from an Acme employee / shill."
So I corrected him and let him know that I'm actually the owner and head chef of Acme.
You're the head shill of Acme.
I'm the head shill of Acme. And he also said that he had screen capped my comment and screen capped my profile, my Instagram profile.
By the way, all screen capped your comment and Instagram profile in the event I can be bothered writing a proper review through the usual channels.
Yeah. So I said,
That's really incriminating.
I said, screen cap away.
He's the Acme owner and head chef. Screen cap away. Then he did a review on TripAdvisor, which was, you know, I mean, like just the expanded version of that. And then
He posted five more pictures on his Instagram.
Every picture of all the food he didn't like, he put it on his Instagram.
So I liked them all. And then he went onto the Facebook page and left a review on the Facebook page as well.
Wow.
So I liked them all from the Acme account.
It's just...
And then that page that I'd never heard of until last week, once loyal customer.
That's awesome.
And turned it into a meme, which I thought was great.
So we've shared that on the Mitchin page, which you can find facebook.com/themitchin.
Guaranteed, if you write something stupid, I will lull at it.
I mean, you would have probably a greater number.
I choose to ignore. I respond to the only ones that I think are really serious. But... No, there's no point in responding in my opinion. Usually, people send complaints via customer feedback through Merivale, and usually I've dealt with a lot myself, which is the person who has complained. Usually, if it's about the food, that I'll ring them personally and really talk about it, and they feel really. Dan decided to call me himself to talk about it.
If someone emails a restaurant and says, "Hey, we had a really shit experience, this is why," of course we will respond and go through it and see what we can do to rectify it. If someone's has their head up their own ass, then we ignore it. Or sometimes I feel a bit cheeky and I'll lol at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know which ones are really genuine that want to give you constructive criticism, and then the ones that, yeah, you know, have got it for you.
Every,
you know,
like, sort of every negative review the dip got, I didn't take seriously because they spent half the review talking about how hard it was to take photos in there.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was a bit entertainment.
And I think, like, there is something to be learned here. If you are, like, you know, if you are older and describing something young that you don't like, don't say it's hipster. It's not a good yeah, like, way to criticize something, because it means something different to, yeah, us. And that, yeah, I don't know. It's a word that, it's a defunct word, in my opinion.
I got a complaint last week, someone who ordered the salt and pepper bugs and sent them back because they were too crispy.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What is, how the fuck? That should be,
I didn't know how to, I was,
sometimes
just like,
you just can't win.
Here, like,
yeah, sometimes you just can't,
you know,
win.
Like,
that's,
yeah, you just can't win business. Sometimes.
Sometimes you know? You just can't win. You can't please everybody all of the time, and you can't try to. You just have to do what you do and believe in what you're doing, and that's it. People can like it or not like it. Doesn't matter.
And if you don't like the food that much, just jump into the ocean and skip your bill.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Some dude in Brisbane ate like $600 worth of lobsters and oysters and then didn't want to pay his bill because he said he didn't like the meal, so he jumped in the ocean and
swam
away.
That's a great one. That.
And then he got
arrested. You eat the whole meal or you drink your whole bottle of wine and then decide that you didn't like it and you don't want to pay for it.
I mean, that's happened. That's happened. You know,
it happens regularly.
It's a lot of people that send food back and they've eaten 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
You know?
If you don't like it, Brett, don't eat it.
Yeah.
That's our show for today. Hongi, we can find you online.
Song of the week, bro.
Oh, yeah. Shit, we're going to... yeah, sorry. We'll do our plugs first.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to pick a song, so think about that, bro. Fuck.
Now?
Love Spring.
Why?
Because we end the show with a song of the week. Hongi can be found Honkstagram on Instagram. I like that between you, your Instakrill and his Honkstagram. So between you guys, you have the full Instagram. you can find Mitch online at Instakrill. You can find both of them. Mitch is at Acme, so make sure you go and call him a shill at Acme. Hongi can be found at Mr. Wong, and of course his television show, The Chef's Line. Is on SBS every single night. I don't know what time does it air. I just watch
6 o'clock
SBS.
Monday to Friday, 6 p.m.
What's next week after Africa?
I don't even know. I don't know.
Which one are you looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to Indian. Indian's really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, Japanese, Chinese, all the Asian stuff. Mm-hmm. You know.
Again, you can find The Mitchin online, facebook.com/TheMitchin, and send us an email like Tim did today. TheMitchinPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me online at LevDog, LevDaw, Jury, across Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So come and say hello to us there. Complain about us and continue the conversation.
I might change my Instagram profile to HeadShill at Acme.
I love it. I'm going to call this episode HeadShill at Acme. Hongi, what do you got for us? We've been asking all our guests to choose the song.
Oh, I've been listening to a lot of pop lately.
This has been a stitch up, by the way. You got to choose the first song, and then we had guests on. And now
you can choose on too, bro.
Zayn. Party, still got time. Party Next Door.
Okay. The one with Party Next Door.
The one with Party Next Door, yeah.
All right, cool. Why do you want to play this one?
Because it makes you feel good.
And that is the best reason to play a song.
Thanks so much for listening to The Mitch Chen. We'll see you next week.
Just stop looking for love. Girl, young, you still got time. Girl, young, you still got time. Girl, young, you still got. Just stop looking for love. You still got time. Girl, young, you still got time. Girl, young, you still got time. This could be something if you let it be something. Don't scare me away. Turn something's into nothing, babe. You're ready. Telling games, babe. You play a role and I play the same. Come give to me, yeah, oh yeah. Come give to me, play by play. I can tell you've been bored all day, cause you're young and you still got time. Don't waste your time. You've been wasting away, oh yeah. And no matter what you say, oh yeah. That smile gonna take you places. And I know you wanna see some faces.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.